जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी मदा गिरी भरा धारी गोपी जन भाई जन पाला यशोदन तीरावन चारी जन्म तीरा बना चारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्रीमाधे सेवाएं वैसैसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की जय ओं विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्रीमाधे सेवाएं वैस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज शिल प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की इस्कॉन फाउंडर आचार्य शिल प्रभुपाद की प्रिंस कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्य आनंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव शि गौर भक्त वृंद की ग्रंथराशिमं भागवतं की निताई गौर प्रेमानंदी ओ ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ओ ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ओ ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ओ ग्लोरी टू शिशि गुरु वंशी गौरंगा ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 Entitled the Samambonam, Chapter 8, entitled Lord Krishna Shows a Universal Form Within His Mouth, and the text is number 36. Jadyevan tarhi vidyehi vyadehi Jadyevan tarhi vyadehi तसा भागवन हरि व्यादत्ता व्याहताय स्वार्या क्रीडमानुज बालका जाद्येवं तर्हि व्यादेहि तासा भागवन हरि व्यादत्ता व्याहताईश्वर्या क्रीडामानुज बालकः जाद्येवं तर्हि व्यादेहि तासा भागवन हरि व्यादत्ता व्याहताईश्वर्या क्रीडामानुज बालका क्रिश्चन यद्येवं तर्हि व्यादेहि त्युक्ता सा भागवन् हरि Vyadatta Vyahata Ishwarya. Krida Manuja Balaka. Jadyevam Tarhi Vyadehi. Tyukta Sa Bhagavan Hari. Vyadatta Vyahata Ishwarya. Kridamanuja Balaka. Jadi, if, evan, it is so, tarhi, then, vyadehi, open your mouth wide, I want to see. Iti uttaha, in this way order, by Mother Yashoda. Saha, he, Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Harihi, the Supreme Lord. Vyadatta, open his mouth. Abhyahata Aishwaryaha, without minimizing any potencies of absolute opulence. Aishwaryasya Samagrasya. Krita, pastimes. Manuja Balakaha. Exactly like the child of a human being. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Mother Yashoda challenged Krishna, quote, if you have not eaten earth, then open your mouth wide, end of quote. When challenged by his mother in this way, Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, to exhibit pastimes like a human child, opened his mouth. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who is full of all opulences, did not distort his mother's parental affection, his opulence was automatically displayed, for Krishna's opulence is never lost at any stage, but is manifest at the proper time. Purport. Without disturbing the ecstasy of his mother's affection, Krishna opened his mouth and displayed his own natural opulences. When a person is given varieties of food, there may be 101 varieties, but if one likes ordinary shock, spinach, he prefers to eat that. Similarly, although Krishna was full of opulences, now, by the order of Yashoda, he opened his mouth like a human child and did not neglect the transcendental humor of maternal affection. Omagyana timirandasya jnanjana shalakaja chakshur ummilitam yena tasmai sri gurube namaha. Namo om Vishnu padaya Krishna prasaya bhutale shrimate ramapaswami dinamini. Namo om Vishnu padaya Krishna prasaya bhutale shrimate bhaktivedanta swami iti namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvesesha Shunyavadi Pashatyade Satarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyasha Kripasindhu Vyayavacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. So, Srila Sukadev Goswami continues the narration and his appreciation for Lord Krishna's display of appreciation of the pastime. And it's specifically wonderful because Srila Sukadev Goswami understands fully Krishna's position. Srila Prabhupada recommends, and the acharyas in our line, all the acharyas recommend, that the Srimad Bhagavatam is the highest presentation of the Absolute Truth. They describe the Srimad Bhagavatam as the essence of the Vedas, the cream, the ultimate expressions of the Absolute Truth. It is explained that it was compiled by Srila Vyasadeva in the full maturity of his transcendental realization. And mind that Srila Vyasadeva is the compiler of all the Vedas and the knower of the Vedas. So Srila Vyasadeva and all the Vaishnava acharyas, they recommend that before coming to the 10th canto, you go through all the other 9 cantos. Why is that? They explain, because then you can understand, when you come to the 10th canto, then you can understand who is Krishna, who is this personality. So when we come to the 10th canto, having gone through all the previous 9th canto, we understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, full of opulence. We understand that He is the source of everything spiritual and everything material. We understand that all these wonderful narrations of the passions of Krishna in all these many different incarnations that are described, that are like the unlimited, like the waves of the ocean. They never stop. They constantly manifesting. That all those wonderful appearances of the Lord, they are they coming originally from the personality of Krishna. Eti chamsa kalapunsa krishnastu bhagavan swayam. Krishnastu bhagavan swayam means He is the source, He is the avatari, the source of all avatars. That is the conclusion of Vyasadev. That is the conclusion of the Srimad Bhagavatam. That although in some other parts of the Vedas, it is described that Lord Vishnu, through Lord Vishnu, all the avatars spans. The Bhagavatam, the Srimad Bhagavatam concludes that and explains clearly that Lord Vishnu is an expansion of Lord Krishna. And Lord Vishnu has a particular function to perform in terms of the creation of this material world and in terms of the maintenance of this material world. So one comes to the 10th canto with a full understanding of Krishna's position. Now Srila Sukadev Goswami, when he starts to narrate the 10th canto, he marvels. He expresses with great wonder Krishna's lila or Krishna's pastimes, because He is the source of everything, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the type of exchanges that he has with his devotees and the type of part that he plays perfectly the activities of an ordinary human child. And when he does that, he acts in such a way that he is fully dependent on the parents. Fully dependent. So, within the pastimes, the theme so far we hear in listening to the pastimes of Krishna as a baby is that he acts like a very hyperactive human child. Very mischievous and doing all kinds of naughty, mischievous things. And we have the experience sometimes, especially, you know, when you're part of a community, that sometimes some children can be hyperactive and very naughty and disruptive. And they're very disruptive. And in general, one is not very impressed by the children, but even less impressed by the parents, you know? I know, and now my wife relates to that because we work with children for a long time, and sometimes you have disrupted children in class. And it becomes a little annoying how to deal with the children. But in general, then you track that to the parents. Somehow, you know, how the parents bring up the children. So, you know, it's something that is there. But then Srila Sukadeva Goswami narrates the activities of Krishna of a child like that, very disrupted and very naughty, creating all kinds of disruptions. For example, the narration of him stealing butter and yogurt from the houses of the neighbors of Nanda Maharaj. And then, you know, tricking and doing all kinds of things, breaking pots, throwing the food into the animals and the monkeys. You know, monkeys are very disruptive also creatures, you know, so you imagine them, Krishna getting all the monkeys into the house and doing all kinds of destructions of things. And then when the neighbors would try to devise some way of, you know, avoiding Krishna destroying things, then he would become angry and then pass stool and pass urine within the temple rooms. I mean, it's like really mischievous. And then when people complain and Krishna will be sitting very innocently, smiling, like he didn't do anything. So, Sukadeva Goswami can only narrate in wonder. Here's the supreme, powerful personality of Godhead. From whom pure transcendental position emanates. When he's described as Pavitran Idan Uttaman. He is perfectly pure. From him Sudha Sattva manifests, which is transcendental goodness. Purity. hears him causing all kinds of this, you know, disruptions. And so we can only marvel at how he's playing that part. And then the other part that one can marvel is how all these disruptive things enhances the affection and the attachments and the ecstasy of happiness that all the devotees of Krishna that are participating in this pastime they experience. And how exactly that happens, just to be an observant, is just wonderful. And this is Sukadev Goswami's position. And he's taking Maharaj Parikshit and taking all of us into this experience that he's having, to being able to understand perfectly Krishna's position, witness his pastimes, and narrating it for the benefit of all of us from his perspective, a fully realized person. So, a fully realized person, Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, that when someone who fully understands Krishna's position naturally becomes a bhakta, naturally with great awe and reverence surrenders to the personality of Godhead and renders service. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matva sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante man. That just to understand that Krishna is the source of everything, automatically iti matva bhajante man, one becomes naturally a devotee. Krishna says that in the 10th chapter. The Bhagavad Gita is wonderful, because in the 9th chapter Krishna tells Arjuna that behold my mystic opulences, that he says that he creates everything, that he is the source of all these planets are manifested by my potencies. And yet everything that is created does not rest on me. So everything comes from him, but he is aloof. He is not involved. So behold that mystic opulence. In general, when something comes from you, you are very much involved in that. But Krishna can be simultaneously both. So, behold my mystic opulence. Although I am the maintainer of all living entities, and although I am everywhere, I am not part of this cosmic manifestation, for myself is the very source of the creation. So this is a great puzzle. How you can be in and out simultaneously. And therefore, behold this mystic, powerful, supreme opulence of myself, Vibhuti. So, in this next chapter, Krishna starts with Arjuna, in chapter 10, telling him, listen again, O mighty arm Arjuna, because you are my dear friend, for your benefit, I shall speak to you further, giving knowledge that is better than what I have already explained. Neither the hosts of demigods, nor the great sages know my origin or opulences. For in every respect, I am the source of the demigods and sages. He who knows me as the unborn, the beginningless, and as the supreme law of all the worlds, he only, undiluted among men, is free from all sins. And then he goes on, one who is factually convinced of this opulence and mystic powers of mind engages in unalloyed devotional service, of this there is no doubt. So, the position of someone who is fully realized is that he surrenders to Krishna. And he engages with all their heart in unalloyed. Unalloyed means that it's singular devotional service. It's pure. It's not mixed with anything. So from the perspective of an unalloyed devotee, unalloyed bhakta, then we're marveling, we're witnessing, we're hearing about Krishna's position and while performing this pastime. So now you can only marvel at that. So Krishna's naughty activities as a child, that he does things that from the materialistic perspective is not very endearing. Stealing, lying, disrupting, you know, destroying things, creating chaos with, you know, the animals, sort of even, you know, the little babies, he will go and pinch them, you know, and make them cry in order to, you know, like all the things. And you won't be impressed if someone is doing these things. However, the inhabitants of Vrindavan are driven into a pool of ecstasy. That's how it's described. Iti drikshvali labir ananda kunde. Ananda kun means, you know, a lake or a pool of ecstasy, of happiness, just by experiencing this mischievous childhood pastimes. So that is also very wonderful, how their devotion and their love for Krishna and their absorption in Krishna becomes heightened and heightened and heightened, and the manifestations of the experiences of deeper and deeper spiritual ecstasy. So in this case, Mother Yasoda is asking Krishna, open your mouth. Because you have eaten dirt. And this mischievous child, she's thinking, our house is full with meats, of sweetmeats, all kinds of beautiful preparations. She spends the whole day doing all kinds of things, you know, to offer to Krishna. Milk and milk preparations and butter. She milks the best cows that are fed with these special grasses, just to actually offer to Krishna. And there he is in some solitary place eating dirt. So she's chastising, Krishna is telling, no, just like a regular child, mischievous child will say, no, I didn't do when he did that. Lying. And then she orders, and he complies. That is wonderful. Sukadeva Goswami said that just like an ordinary child, he obeyed his mother. And now a little, he's showing a little, being a little scared because he knows his mother is going to chastise him. But then also Sukadev Goswami observed that, the thing is that Krishna's opulence cannot be hidden. They're already there, and he is that supreme being, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, in all positions, in the, as a little baby or as the supreme maintainer and creator of everything. His opulence are there. Krishna tells Arjuna that everything that you see in this world that is marvelous is nothing but a spark of my splendor. It's just a tiny spark. So what to speak of is full opulence. So that opulence, that vibhuti, in all circumstances is present with Krishna. So now, when he opened his mouth, that full opulence, or that opulence, not even the full opulence, but the opulence is displayed. And then we're going to see how, from within the mouth, Mother Yasoda is able to see the whole cosmic manifestation within Krishna's tiny baby mouth. And then Sukadev Goswami can only marvel that even throughout that display of opulence, the mood, the maternal mood of Mother Yasoda doesn't get disrupted. She gets covered. Because different than Arjuna, when Arjuna, on his request, the universal form, he became overwhelmed by awe and reverence. And he actually was fearful. It disrupted his whole, being. He was scared to the point that he actually begged Krishna to please again show his two-armed form that he has a relationship with. But with Mother Yasoda, all that she sees in this universal form, her mood was not disrupted. The way she processed that whole experience was, she must be something happening, she must be tired or stressed out or something, so immediately something gets in place that doesn't absolutely disrupt the mood that she is a mother and this is my little baby. Mischievous baby, but his darling. It doesn't get disrupted in anything. And with the Acharyas explains that potency that is called the Yoga Maya potency of the Lord. By that Yoga Maya, Krishna don't allow the devotee to understand his position. So then he can fully relish that maternal love, and the devotee fully relish also that maternal love. So he's reciprocating with that fully. And in order to reciprocate with that, he plays the part perfectly. He reciprocates with the love of the devotee. The devotee wants to have the desire to have this relationship, and Krishna perfectly
fulfills that desire and reciprocates with that desire. So, from the perspective of Sukadev Goswami, all these verses is basically going on the same theme. How wonderful that the Supreme Personality of God is playing the part of this childhood pastimes. So the devotee's prayer, may that childhood pastimes of the Lord be ever manifest within my mind. What is the use of any kind of liberation?
Barandeva mokshana mokshan badimba nachanya vinyam barashapiha idante vapurnata gopala balam idante vapurnata gopala balam sadame manasya virastam kinanyai.
That in my mind your child's pastimes will ever manifest. I ask for that benediction. I don't care Barandeva moksham na moksham badimba. I don't care for any for liberation. I don't care for opulences. I don't care for any type of benediction. They're not used to me. But my only prayer is that your childhood pastime may be ever manifest within my mind.
So why? Because by those childhood pastimes, iti drikshvali labir ananda kunde, all the inhabitants of Vrindavan are drawn in an ocean of bliss. So the devotee prays like that, beautiful Damodarastaka prayers. The vision of Krishna's beautiful form as a baby.
Idam te mukham bhojan adhyanta nilaya britam kuntalaya snigdha ratascha gopya,
who is breaking the pots that the gopis are hanging. The vision of Krishna's beautiful face that is encircled with locks of curly hairs, black curly hairs, and whose cheeks are being reddened by the kisses of Mother Yasoda, and they look like bimba fruits. The bimba fruits is the pomegranate, right? And they're reddish, you know, when you have a fresh pomegranate, you know, reddish like that. What is it? How's it go?
Idante mukam bhujanati antanila vidam kuntalais nidajan
muhuchumbitam bimba rakta daramme. That, yes, and then sadame manasya lang. Yeah. So this is the prayer of the devotee. And how to get there from our perspective, those are the exalted devotees who are in that position, then we pray to the Supreme Lord to rescue us from this suffering condition. We pray to the Supreme Lord to give us the gift of devotional service. If he gave in the same way that he gave mercy to Nala and Manigriva Kuvera, then and allow them to become also his devotees, so kindly make me your devotee also. Rescue me like that. So it's very wonderful to see Krishna performing these pastimes, and the fact
It is explained that just meditating on these pastimes, just listening to these pastimes, not even meditating, just listening to the pastimes, one becomes conquered by Krishna's beauty and Krishna's activities. They're attractive. His Holiness Rama Patswami was explaining how, and just like I was going through that, even the activities of stealing butter, of lying, of doing all this, they're very attractive because they're performed by Krishna, by the personality of Godhead. We know, because of knowing his position, with the help of the great acharyas, and how the highlight is the exchanges of love, which is so wonderful. How much affection is there for Krishna, for his devotees, and the devotees for Krishna. And to be able to hear that we also have the is part of our essence, that we also that's what the essence of our existence, that we also have that. We also have somewhere dormant within ourselves that position of being in that relationship of love with Krishna. Then it also gives us the reason and the purpose to actually be back or reestablish ourselves in that position. It's what we are and what we're supposed to be. So this is the beauty of listening to the Krishna's pastimes, the 10th canto. That's why he manifests these pastimes. And that's why he has his devotees, such Sukadev Goswami, narrating for our benefit these pastimes, makes it available. Srila Vyasadeva makes it available for us in the form of the Srimad Bhagavatam and in the form of the 10th canto, which is the smiling face of the Lord. Any comments or questions?
So, yeah, you say a very nice point, that is, Krishna is Vishuddham. There is a very nice verse, Lord Shiva is explaining in Srimad Bhagavatam that Shuddham Vishuddham Vasudeva Sabditam. And Shuddham Vishuddham Vasudeva Sabditam. Vasudeva, he at the last middle line is, I forgot, he at the Khaje Namasa Vidyate. And he is telling the Shuddham Vishuddham Vasudeva Sabditam. Prabhupada also quotes several times. Krishna is the Shuddha Sattva, means Vishuddham, always pure. His pastimes, everything is pure. It can purify everybody just by hearing. Past times, like we are singing, use that every evening, Damodara Stego. So very nice, very purification, so much purification is there. And also, one more point, what is that? You said 10 canto, like Prabhupada explains, the first canto and second canto are the feet of Krishna. So we, we have darshanarthi, first we have to see, approach Krishna's lotus feet. Then slowly, slowly you have to increase your vision towards Like that is the real perfection of having darshan.
Mm.
So not immediately go and say, you have to see the face of Krishna. No, first you have to start from lotus feet. Then feet, then all this face, and then all associates. And this is the way of having darshan.
Mm.
So,
yeah. Thank you very much, Prabhu. Jai Baladev.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for your class. You were mentioning Krishna, despite Mother Jasoda making so many nice preparations, sweetmeats, etc., Krishna decided to eat dirt because he was playing an ordinary child. That reminds me of something, but here's a side note. I'm not sure if you remember, this kind of related to the point, but I'm not sure if you probably do. Do you remember, me and my mom was talking about this recently. Do you remember the cartoon Popeye and Olive Oil? And I love that cartoon. Of course, it wasn't my time, but they showed rerun when I was a kid, and I appreciate this verse mentions spinach. That's why I'm thinking of it, because when Popeye ate spinach, he became like Superman. And so my favorite food growing up was spinach. And it's kind of related to the point where in the Bible, it also mentioned this in this canto early in the Bhagavatam, but something Jesus said, it also says it in this canto. I can't find the verse now, but it was a nice point Lord Jesus Christ made in the Bible. He says, man should not live on bread alone, but from every word that emanates from the mouth of Almighty God. So there's spiritual food and material food, but we see Christian play the like an ordinary child. We see that in preschool, a teacher never goes to her preschool children and tell them, I'm going to teach you how to eat dirt. I'm going to teach you how to electrocute yourself. I'm going to teach you how to burn yourself. Teachers don't have to teach children how to do that. And we see in the material world, people don't, Prabhupada didn't have to teach people how to do stupid things that's self-destructive to themselves and others because they're in ignorance. And so that's kind of one lesson I took from this pastime is that, and it's also in the second council of Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami essentially mentions that in the material world, people are eating the dirt of, you know, material news, gossip, slander, that's not nourishing their bodies, and they're avoiding what will nourish your body, the nectar of Krishna Katha. So my question related to this point is that obviously when we don't eat food every day, it's very perceivable that we become very weak, and we know we're dependent on the food. But with the mind, it's so subtle that you know, when we don't feed our mind with Krishna Katha or some type of wisdom, it's not as obvious because it's on a subtle level. But we see in the material world the result of people who don't properly feed their mind with wisdom, just bicker all the time, fight with each other. We can't argue whether people want to bicker with us or not, but we see that in the material world, you may fight with someone and then you go fight and bicker with your family at home because you can't take it out on anybody else, so you take it out on your family, and that causes a lot of disharmony, even if you don't have any beef, so to speak, with your family. So what are some steps to move forward to gain a realization that we're actually dependent on feeding our mind with Krishna Katha as much as feeding the body with nutritious food?
Yeah, it's education. And we need to be guided. Like with children, is very obvious because children are naturally ignorant because of lack of education and experience. So that's why they do naughty things. And a child, you know, can just out of curiosity, actually, even sometimes intelligent child, that is, when curiosity is a sign of intelligence. So, and Prabhupada's plain naughtiness also is a sign of intelligence in the purpose of Krishna's pastimes, that just the curiosity of exploring the world, but because they don't know, they're ignorant, then they do all these naughty things. So like eating dirt is a sign of ignorance. So when fully grown up or any manifestation of doing harmful things towards oneself is a sign of ignorance. And that's the condition of the world. I mean, people may not eat dirt, but they eat things that are completely abominable and disrupted to their own welfare. And that's just on the eating department. It's all around, everything. Because of ignorance of the self, then you do things that are harmful for you and for others. And ignorance gets destroyed by knowledge, by education. So people pay attention, civilized people pay attention to education. But because of actually being misguided, they're paying attention only to material education. And that also has to do with circumstances, material circumstances that are surrounding you. When the emphasis is on the material education, then they still remain in full ignorance, because the reality is that one have to pay attention to both spiritual and material education. That is the teachings of the Sri Upanishad, right? Vidya and avidya. One have to simultaneously cultivate. So, material education, you only have half of the equation, and without the other half, you're lost. You know, it's having something quite incomplete. And the result will be incomplete. So, so education, the importance of education, and we have to be guided and told. That's why we, as a child, we need our parents. Without our parents, a child will remain ignorant. But with our parents, then we become educated. That's Mother Yasoda playing the part of a mother, Krishna playing the part of a child, and she's educating. You know, the child is naughty, so I chastise when he does a naughty thing, and I educate what's the right thing, and I provide a facility for education. So we need something like, that's why we need sadhus. The sadhu comes, and the sadhu provides the education, you know, full education, both spiritual and material. It can teach us, you know, the complete. So we're dependent. We're ignorant by being in this material world, and we're dependent on these great personalities to come to our life and help us, you know, receive education. So we have to be, and as now someone who has received the benefit of a sadhu guiding us and educating us, then it's a matter of maturity of that education. So then, you know, we go into the process of taking it in and actually moving from nominal knowledge to realized knowledge. So we're in the process of realizing, absorbing that knowledge. Yeah. Yes.
So I just wanted to ask you a question, because my upbringing was different. My father was very made sure I did the right thing. I studied very intently at school. I was a good student. Got all the grades, became a pharmacist, but now, you know, like, he's having trouble letting go, right? So, and I've always taught myself, you know, I was very spiritual when I was younger too, so I always had this connection with Bhagavan. Now I'm It's like in Indian families are just very, or conservative families even, it's hard for the parents to detach sometimes and allow their child to grow. And so it's like now I'm 34 years old and I'm trying to be this independent person, right? Like, we are all dependent because we love our parents in such a way, but I need to grow as an independent soul, and sometimes I feel like my father is too very, very attached, which is fine, but I'm, you know, yeah, I just wanted to ask you, because how do we go through that middle ground, right? So be knowledgeable in the material sense and be knowledgeable in the spiritual sense, but go in the middle road. Like, how would we do that with parents?
Yeah, in general, the middle ground is a position of knowledge. It's a position in which you actually are balancing both spiritual and matter. It's a position of Krishna consciousness. According to the Bhagavad Gita, equipoise. And that's what we're aspiring to be. And that path is a path that is individual. Each one of us is meant to that's the goal of life for each one of us, to come to that position of being equipoised, perfectly equipoised. Equipoise is actually just a symptom of coming to the position of self-realization. So it's not simple and it's not easy, but it's a goal of life. So we are moving towards that. We have it very clear. We do that within a community, but at the end, we are individuals. So there is a balance between individuality and community. And it's a perfect, and that's what you're asking, how to hit that perfect, balance. And the perfect balance comes from this proper education. Arjuna has the same the same difficulty when he presented for Arjuna. The conflict was very intense, because in different than us, Arjuna was in the middle of a battlefield and he had to kill his family, and specifically he had to kill the person who brought him up, like he was, his grandfather, that was like his father, because Arjuna grew up as a fatherless boy. His father died when he took birth, so his grandfather became his father figure, loving father figure. Arjuna was very devoted to his grandfather. And now he's in the position that he has to kill him. So that's very intense. He was conflicted. How I'm going to hit the balance of doing my duty and honoring the relationship that I have with my grandfather? So it was this individual conundrum, that's the word, the right word, of conflict.
I don't know what's right. My, you know, internally, I can only have this admiration and respect and love and connection to my grandfather. And on the other hand, I have this individual, duty as an individual that I have to perform for the world, for society at large. I'm a Kshatriya, this is who I am, this is my profession. And the duty that I have is, you know, as a Kshatriya I have to perform. So Krishna goes to Arjuna to explain transcendental knowledge. So this transcendental knowledge is what gives us the capacity to be able to come to a position or to grow into that position of understanding how to perform things that are balanced, how to hit that, you know, position of equipoise and balance. And there's a process how to receive transcendental knowledge. Like, to be a pharmacist, you look for a school and you look for teachers, you know, who, and the circumstances that were favorable for that. So similarly, to learn transcendental knowledge, one has to look for a teacher that has that transcendental knowledge. Tadvidhi panipatina pariprasnena sevaya. One looks for a tattvadarshi. Pariprasnena sevaya. Upadeshanti te jnanam. What is it, Res? Upadeshanti te jnanam. Tadvidhi panipatina pariprasnena sevaya. Upadeshanti te jnanam. Jnani. Say it loud. No. Tattva Darshana was the end of it, but there's some word that I'm missing. Gyaninas Tattva Darshana. Gyaninas Tattva Darshana means that someone who has seen the truth can give you that knowledge. Tattva Darshi. Tattva means truth. Darshana means witness. Who have taken darshan of truth. And what is that truth? What is that jnana? Krishna explains that one who knows perfectly his position, this position of divinity, of his activities and his appearance in this world. That's the essence of transcendental knowledge. He says, karma, what is it? Yamma karma chame divyam evan yo veti tattvataha. This is the tattva. This is the transcendental truth. To understand Krishna in his position. So that's the essence of transcendental knowledge. So when I'm able to get that type of education, then it's much easier to understand how to honor your family and at the same time also being able to pursue the process of self-realization and without compromising either, because the whole idea is to have that balance. The balance won't be possible without transcendental knowledge. That's what the scriptures tell us. You cultivate simultaneously vidya and avidya. Vidya means transcendental knowledge. Avidya means knowledge of the world, material knowledge. So simultaneous. But in order to have this simultaneous track of life, you have to be under the umbrella of transcendental knowledge, under the protection, guidance. your goal in life should be self-realization. That's what transcendental knowledge gives us. It tells us what north is. The purpose of life is not just to fulfill the duties, material duties that we have, duty with family, duty with society, but the goal of life is to help us understand that we are a spirit soul and we have an eternal relationship with God, and we don't belong to this material world. This material world is a temporary place and we are an eternal being. So we belong to the spiritual world in a loving relationship with God. That's the goal of life. So then with that goal, everything else that we do, all the relationships that we have in this world, are simply to support that goal. So it's your path and you have to reach that path. It's not dictated by the family or by society, but it's something that we each one individually have. And when we are in that path, naturally the devotee or the seeker or that the individual will be able to simultaneously honor and serve society in a proper way. Serve your parents like that. It depends on your strength and your understandings of things. If you have good understanding, then they will see that. So it takes time, but you have to make that choice. You have to make that decision. Okay, I stop here. Garantarashinam Bhagavatam Ki Jai.